This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Stephon Diggs, head as we continue with headlines. The video, I think a lot of folks have seen. If you haven't, I'll give you the description. Stephon Diggs, I thought, kind of showed up Josh Allen on the bench in that loss to the Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah, was he genuinely, I guess the question is always, was he genuinely upset the way like an Andre Johnson might, or a DeAndre Hopkins might say, get him the bleep out of here?
Yeah.
Or was he just upset that he was injured also? Was he upset that he wasn't getting targets? Was he upset that... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm confusing A.J. Brown, who was injured.
Yeah.
Because A.J. Brown wasn't all that happy.
He wasn't
either.
Happy. And they're up 31-7 in their game.
Oh, dude, I'm so happy that I think we're seeing the return of the diva wide receiver.
Clearly.
And I feel like Antonio Brown was the pioneer in reintroducing us to it. He shot a little high.
He did.
It was a little bit much.
But the thing is, what he did, there's a lot of room below it.
Dude, the year that Stephon Diggs was being painted as the guy who was all about the team, and even though he wasn't getting the targets, he's cool because he understood it. I was so depressed. I was like, no, I need wide receivers who are just.
I think they're
living.
Back.
I'm saying that jokingly because one of the stories that I use against Brandon Cooks that was after a victory in New Orleans one year, he gave lengthy comments after the game about how they needed to get things right because he didn't get enough targets in that game. So, but in terms of I don't want the divas on my team, but I like the existence of divas.
Yeah, I want them in my life, but not on my team. So Stephon Diggs, for those who missed it, Josh Allen's on the bench. The game is not going well for the Bills. It didn't go well from jump for the Bills. Josh Allen's on the bench with his position coach looking at the tablet, and Stephon Diggs walks by the bench, and he's gesturing with his arms out, like as if to say, like, if I'm trying to fill in what I think the talk bubble would be over his head on a comic strip, it's like, why aren't you throwing me the effing ball? I'm open. Like, he's standing there for 10 seconds gesturing, and certainly gives everybody plenty to read into. So it was caught on the broadcast. Stephon Diggs tweeted yesterday, his frustrations and whatnot. He tweeted this: want me to be okay with losing?
Oh.
Nah. Want me to be okay with our level of play when it's not up to the standard? Nah. End quote. Mm. And a third tweet, sorry. It's easy to criticize my reaction more than the result.
Yeah, that's I think that is one thing where you walk a fine line between wanting your athletes to be upset but not too upset at losing. And just exactly how are they taking it out? If a guy's upset because he feels like he needs to be more involved, but that's like the main focus of what he's saying, then all right, dude, no, like, okay. If you care about the team, care about the team.
Right.
But if you care about like your role on the team, that's a whole different scenario.
Yeah, I'd have to know what he was yelling. Yeah. I just think the optics of it, the optics were he was yelling at Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And I felt like saying, dude, Josh Allen's the main reason that you guys are where you are. Like, he's...
And yet,
he's made his mistakes, but he's obviously a great player.
The Bills are a tricky team because they are facing Josh Allen's new contract kicking in.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they've got guys like Poyer and a few other key players or free agents. And they feel like the team because they're not actually a well-developed offense.
No,
other than
they can't run the
they've
football.
Got Diggs and they've got Josh Allen, who drives everything. Josh Allen drives the running game. Stephon Diggs pulling people away and taking up attention drives the passing game, but you never feel like it's a well-orchestrated machine. It feels like a jam band out there in a lot of ways still, as opposed to, you know, a symphony.
It's
hard to sustain that over time.
I think of the teams that everybody is crowning right now in the AFC, because that had been the talk when the playoffs started, and especially when these four teams were the four teams left standing: Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, all of whom have very, very good to great quarterbacks. I mean, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Trevor Lawrence is ascending. But Burrow Allen and Mahomes are undoubtedly three of the top five or six quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
And the talk had been, you know how this goes. Like, the talk becomes, well, this is how it's going to be forever. Is this going to be what the playoffs look like for the next 10 years? And, of course, we know that at least one, if not two, of these teams are going to experience a hiccup in the next couple years. I think the Bills are the most likely team to experience a hiccup out of all these teams. And I don't know in that division that the Jets and the Patriots and the Dolphins are equipped to really, truly make them pay. Like, if you were to have a hiccup in the AFC West, like, like there's quarterbacks in that division, or the AFC North. I mean, those are four teams. You know, like, you'll ask Cleveland. You'll pay, you know. But Buffalo, to your point, Seth, feels like a team. Like, would it shock me if Buffalo was 7-10 or 8-9 next year? It wouldn't shock me at all if they don't improve some things. They can't run the football.
Josh Allen's cap hit goes from $16 million this year to $39.7
million. I'm no mathematician, but that's a big increase.
Yeah.
Wow.
These damn quarterbacks. It's the worst thing about quarterbacks is that once you find one, you got 3 years to enjoy them. And then all of a sudden he's a weight around your ankles, dragging to your watery death. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to make decisions on them before a lot of them have really given you enough to pay them for. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's a story right now about Joe Burrow is going to be looking to get his extension this offseason. Well, Joe Burrow deserves an extension. He's turned one of the worst franchises in team sport into a Super Bowl contender. He made the Super Bowl last year. He's 60 minutes away from making the Super Bowl this year. Joe Burrow deserves every penny that he gets, and he should get way more than Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray. That's going to be an interesting negotiation because he's on one of the most notoriously cheap teams in the history of the sport.
Right, but they have spent, and it really started with DJ Reader in that free agency class, and this is where another reason you shouldn't get, if your team decides to start spending in free agency, the strength of your squad is way overrated. Jacksonville this past season spent, got criticism for spending, and ended up being really, really good in their spending.
They
in the
did
off
awesome.
Season. And they pulled in guys that were viable football players. The Bengals in 2020 had four losing seasons in a row. They had just gone 2-14. They ended up signing DJ Reader and two other defensive players.
Trey Hendrickson, Mike Hilton.
Yes, good job.
Thank you.
And they ended up having a losing season that year too, but then obviously turned things around and had a couple of good drafts. So it's not the death blow that people think it is. As far as the cap hit, I just said that Josh's is going to go up to $45 million or so. The prime example of why the Chiefs are such a good team is that this year Pat Mahomes' cap hit is $46 million. They had to get rid of Tyreek Hill because of that.
Yeah,
and it turned out to not be one bit of an issue whatsoever.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
except that now he's got his Steph Curry ankle going.
He does. Yeah. He does. Well, and we'll see. Look, the Chiefs were one loss record, a really good team this year. They were not the same dominant team they were with Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs team last year would definitely not only be fit, and I know Mahomes' ankle has something to do with it, but I think, you know, like last year, I'd have to go back and see what the spread was on last year's
game. They were sneakily a really, really good. It was weird how, like, people were just largely ignoring Pat Mahomes this year because he gets a little bit of the LeBron treatment.
I guess my point is they played in a lot more close games this year.
Yeah.
And Pat Mahomes is one of those guys that if you're in a close game, you want Pat Mahomes as your quarterback.
Yeah.
They just weren't the hammer offensively they were with Tyreek Hill.
Like, yeah.
Explosive play-wise. Maybe I'm wrong. What are their yards per play or explosive plays?
I just DVOA, they're like first by a wide margin.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're 25%.
I guess they're just doing it differently. I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'm off.
They've become a much more efficient offense. That's the thing. Okay, if you want to talk, it's the same as the playoffs have been so far this year. Like in the divisional round, there are a lot of really good offensive performances, like the Chiefs. Like that was actually statistically in a lot of ways one of Pat Mahomes, like it was a very above average performance for him, and yet none of it actually felt all that explosive or impressive. Mm-hmm. I think because of the style of good defenses in the league right now is to play a lot more bend but don't break. Mm-hmm. It's leading to boring offense. So Philly fans are right in some respects. They need to bring back like good defenses that are really, really awesome except for when they suck and give up a huge shot plays downfield.
Yeah. I'm looking. The Chiefs were plus 127 this year. Last year, okay, plus 116. Maybe I'm off. They actually had a higher point differential this year.
Yeah, it was one of the more curious things this year, honestly. That like people were ignoring Pat Mahomes.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I just felt there was a point in the season And maybe it was around the time they played the Texans and went to overtime with the Texans.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm overstating that game. I know going into that game that the talk around the Chiefs, and certainly the talk during the game on that Sunday was, whew, I can't wait to bet against these guys when the postseason rolls around. Not me. I'm just saying the chatter that I was seeing. But maybe I overestimated the degree, certainly overestimated the accuracy of that chatter. Here they are in the AFC title game. Mahomes' ankle, Seth, I heard compared to the ankle injury he suffered back in the beginning of the 2019 season. You remember that, where that was probably the last patch of regular season where people were like, ooh, I don't know.
They lost three AFC South teams in a row.
Including the Houston Texans.
Yeah. I don't know if they were consecutive losses. I know that they played three, the three AFC
window.
South teams that they played consecutively, they lost to. Yeah, it was, well, at that point in time, too, nobody was ever going to beat Lamar Jackson again. Remember, it was
during the 2019 season.
Yes,
yeah, that was his MVP season.
Well,
yes.
Mahomes was struggling a little bit. It was that, like, well, no team will ever stop the Baltimore Ravens.
The torch had been passed.
So, yeah, certainly not just in their first game of the playoffs this year or anything. Yeah.
Right. But Mahomes, I mean, Mahomes is going to play, obviously. I was listening to some audio from Andy Reid as I was driving in this morning, and it's so funny. You know how some of these coaches get with injuries, even injuries that are just so public. Andy Reid's the best. He's like, yeah, I know you guys are all wondering about Patrick. That's definitely the biggest injury on our injury list. I'm like, I love this guy. He's just a straight shooter.
Would you love Andrew Reed if he had a 6-11 football team and they were doing that little merry-go-round play and stuff like
no,
that?
No, I definitely wouldn't.
That was
I know
was
who I am.
That was the silliest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it was, I feel like he's just mocking us. I don't like new Andy Reid, NU Andy Reid. Him on these commercials where he's painting mustaches on people and everything, and doing a good job of the acting.
You think he's a good actor?
Yes, I think he's really good when he pretends at the end. He does it because, you know, I know he's a good actor because you can tell when he's doing the intentionally bad acting.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
At the end there, when he's like, "Oh, I'll get to the bottom of this.
I'll get to the bottom of this."
Yeah,
yeah.
Like there. And that's a big ask, to ask somebody who's not actually a good natural actor to be an intentionally bad actor. That takes a certain subjugation of ego. It's impressive.
Okay, yeah. Siskel, what do you think of Patrick Mahomes' acting chops?
He's not that good.
It happened again!
Baker Mayfield's the only current quarterback.
Dude. Baker Mayfield is the Tom Hanks of NFL players.
Is he employed right now or not?
Yes. Well, he's a free agent,
yeah,
I think.
So I'll call him current with a question mark. He's the only good actor. Am I missing any good actors as quarterbacks?
Text in 713-572-4610.
Who are the other good actors as football players right now?
Right.
Like genuinely good. Like you look at him and you're like, oh, if I didn't know he's a football player, he might have just been.
Do you like Aaron Rodgers on the State Farm commercials?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I'm not wild about him either.
I don't like looking at Aaron Rodgers. He's not ugly, but he doesn't. I told you, he looks too much like it's my dad on the weekend at the Denny's, like in the smoking section. Back
when
they were smoking.
Especially
when
he grows his hair out.
Yeah, it feels like God.
Yeah.
And my dad just sitting there trying to figure out what the hell he's going to do with these kids for 2 days.
I saw an article in People yesterday that Shailene Woodley, ex, that the breakup from Aaron Rodgers was the darkest time of her life. After they broke up,
it's kind of probably because he got her hooked on some kind of tranquilizer.
Ayahuasca.
Kept her in a back room.
It's a dark time because he left me alone in a pancha karma.
He made me sever all ties with my family. I didn't have anybody's phone numbers.
That's
even
funny.
Yeah,
that's funny. People are saying on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. Okay, some of these are funny. 9901 Brock Osweiler. Brock was the worst.
Yeah.
In those HEB commercials.
I knew right then he didn't have it.
No, I did too. Do you know that?
Why, Brock?
You know that's the stuff I judge athletes on.
Yeah. It's like there's a certain way to be a bad actor.
Right.
And one of them is if you're an athlete and you're a bad actor, it's got to look like you're also just like you're not trying hard enough.
Right.
Whereas Brock, most people in general just don't feel comfortable like showing a lot of motion and getting loose and everything.
Yeah.
Whereas Brock, it looked like he was really trying. And that's what bothered me. He looked like a bad actor in a high school play.
In his Woody the Cowboy outfit. And JJ's like, what are you doing, Brock? And he's like, just moved to Texas, trying to fit in.
You know, I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah.
That was the one single whiff that HEB has had with its athletes.
Brock Osweiler.
When he was dressed up like
a cowboy, like Woody.
Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yeah, like Woody. Tom Hanks' voice. Yeah, Woody. Chris Paul is getting some love here on the text page for his He's in the State Farm commercials.
Well, no, that's his brother.
Cliff.
You guys are mistaken. Yeah. That. Like, this is, they're twins.
Baker getting a lot of love. Troy Polamalu in the Head and Shoulders commercials.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are pretty good.
And he's not actually even a good, but he's another one. Like, he's not a good actor, but it's like, he's likable.
He's embracing the role, too.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
there to let his hair cascade yeah. over his shoulders in the wind.
Yeah.
He's good. All right, we'll read more of these. We got to jump out here. Payne and Pendergast with you. Sports Radio 610. Dusty Baker. It's some interesting things to say. If you are an Astros fan who got a little angry with some of the lineups during the season, I would brace yourselves for the 2023 season. Dusty talks about that, and he makes a cross-sport comparison in the NBA to one of his players. We'll let you hear that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
People were calling me champ. I didn't know who they were talking to at first. You know, walking down the street. And, you know, I've always been invited to spend a lot of time with the little leagues, high schools, but the requests this year have been off the hook. So I got really, one of my homeboys, Jerry Manuel, reminded me that I had to get my rest. So you got to take care of yourself in order, because this is going to be I think this year is going to be tougher than last year.
I get happy for Dusty when I hear him talking about being treated like a champion on the street these days.
Well, and for, you know, he comes from an era when being the heavyweight champion, like, had a whole different, you know, cachet
Muhammad Ali,
to
yeah.
it than, yeah, like being that. Well, no, really, anytime up until the last 20 years, if you were the heavyweight champion, I mean, there was, like, very little that was better than that.
It's true.
You know, and then boxing kind of changed a little bit.
A little,
the balkanization of boxing.
Yes.
So, to be able to be called champ, anytime people are calling you champ in anything other than a condescending way.
Yes.
Like, because you're either a child or an idiot. like, yeah, Nice race, champ. Yeah, like it's a pretty cool thing. That so is, yeah, I'm happy that he gets to be called champ as
I am
well.
I am too.
I was hoping he was going to go into like some long story about Bill Cosby sending him a congratulations or something.
Jeez, yeah, I know.
Yeah, Bill Cosby calls me champ now too.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
All right. We're going to go talk to Bregman.
Wow, it's weird. There's nobody talking to Dusty. Yeah, like, I don't know. He just wouldn't stop talking about Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby. Here was Dusty on this team. Look, a lot of guys on this team, well, not as many as did a couple of years ago, but experience with a really short offseason. A few of their most important players have that from winning it in 2017. And look, this team has always made a run at least to the ALCS, and they've been to the World Series now the last 2 years. And Dusty talked about the experience that they have with a short offseason and how that helps them.
Yeah, these guys, they know how to do it. My first question yesterday, which I didn't know, was how did they do after the last World Series? And I guess they went back to the ALDS, ALCS. And so, these guys know how to do it. But, you know, we'll assess which guys we got to take it easy with or which guys, you know, came out of the offseason unscathed. Or if you had enough time, you know, to heal your body. And the challenges this year is the WBC, you know, because we have a number of guys that are going to the WBC, which we got to get ready to play and then turn off and then get ready to play again in ours.
Yeah, WBC is the World Baseball Classic. They do have a handful of players that are going to be playing. That's an off-season tournament between countries and things like that.
Oh, yeah, remember? Yeah.
Presley's, I know, going to be playing for the U.S. There's a few other
guys. Manager
of
the year that none of the Astros got to play. It was because Bregman was one of them, I remember, and it was
I have no recollection.
They got screwed, Sean. They got screwed.
Okay.
Because basically,
if
you're missing out on some spring training for that and you're not getting at-bats, you show up to camp a little
slower. Oh, so
a
they were on that team, but yeah, they just didn't play. Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't recall that.
I remember.
Yeah, parts evidently.
Of it. Parts of it, yeah.
This is my solemn vow to Dusty. Because, Seth, as you know, last year I was one of the people that would come in after a game where, you know, three of their main guys would be benched for a game. Oftentimes with Justin Verlander on the hill.
Yeah.
Justin Verlander early in the season, for whatever reason, he was the one who had to deal with the janky lineups. With the Mauricio Dubons of the world and the Aledmys Diaz batting cleanup and things like that. Probably because Verlander is so good at his job. This is one of those things where someone being really good at their job gets penalized for being good at their job. He gets a bad lineup and no run support. Whatever. Verlander's not here anymore. This is my vow to Dusty Baker. I will not, through 162-game regular season, I will not come into this studio one time a day following a day where you are load managing the hell out of your team and complain about it. I won't. I did last year.
Okay.
You called me out on it, rightfully so, because this was a very healthy team.
Mm-hmm.
Come postseason, and I think that had a lot to do with it. So I vow that I will not do that. If Dusty will do this, if you are going to load manage, don't do that thing you do where you take whoever is replacing Bregman and batting them cleanup because Bregman bats cleanup.
Right.
Whoever's replacing Altuve bats leadoff because Altuve's your leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Just put a lineup out there that's going to score runs as best it can with the nine guys that you're putting out there. But don't put Mauricio Dubon batting leadoff because he's playing second base that day.
Yeah, that's the part that gets super frustrating. It's easy to dismiss a lot of the other stuff as just load management or what have you. I guess the counter argument though is okay, if you shuffle that around, then you're taking other guys who are in and out of the lineup and making it even more erratic for them. So I can see that side of it. I mean, okay,
you bringing up the devil's advocate.
If you're putting Dubon at leadoff, okay, then there's inherent issues with that, obviously. But then you're okay, that's all right. I'm with you. I'm just trying to
stick
up for Champ. Okay. I'm tired of you just talking to Champ like he's clueless out there.
He is a champ, yeah. No, yeah. It's a bold move by me right now.
It was 2017 when Bregman got four at-bats in the World Baseball Classic.
Okay, that was before everybody knew they were cheating.
Jim Leland apologized publicly.
Hold up. Jim Leland was the manager?
He was the manager, yeah.
Was he like 98 at the time? He's Jim Leland.
Yeah.
Jim Leland, a noted in-dugout cigarette smoker.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's not awesome, kids. It's awful. But
it's pretty funny.
It's notable that there used to be a time where people would... ball players would have, you know, big endorsement deals For,
oh, yeah.
DiMaggio probably made more money from his cigarette endorsements than he did from the Yankees
That's probably not an exaggeration.
They were the sneakers of the 1940s.
They were.
They really were.
Back in the 30s, Phil Knight's grandfather was selling them out of the trunk of his car, the same way Phil Knight would sell shoes out of the trunk of his car in 1980.
Back then, basketball players used to endorse wingtips because that's basically what they played in.
Yes, exactly. We're getting a lot of texts to the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page on good and bad
athletes, actors.
Yeah. 9803 says Alex Bregman is awesome. Is Alex Bregman awesome, or is he just comedically kind of okay? Like, there's a sign.
Bregman comes through. He's a little bit like a Luke Wilson in that. It's more about his actual attitude coming through. He's got a different type of attitude than Luke Wilson, but Luke Wilson just comes across as like a perpetually like very laid back, but maybe a little skeptical about what the hell's going on here. Yeah. Like that's Luke Wilson in every role. Like a little bit confused, you know,
it's
like not goofy and lovable the way Owen is, but it's just his personality. Whereas Bregman, I think it's a little bit of his kind of like sarcastic smirkiness that's starting to come through. Early on, he was really bad. With those energy commercials. His first go at it was, I think, those energy
commercials. He's in the khaki. He looks like he's the guy selling the energy to you door to door.
He was a sales trainee.
Yeah.
But like he's gotten better. So, yeah.
I wouldn't say awesome, but he's fine. Who's the best out of all the Astros? Altuve is my favorite in the HEB commercials.
And Altuve is another one that I don't know if he's a good actor. He's just so damn lovable. And
he's hilarious.
He's ready.
Yeah. He's really funny.
And coming out with the big gulp.
Yes.
And all that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Standing at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah. I think Pena is like maybe a legitimately good actor.
Pena might be the guy. Yeah, if we go back to throwbacks, like old time, you know, except that he's actually like there was a time, kids, when people thought Joe DiMaggio was good looking.
Oh, yeah. He dated Marilyn Monroe.
I know. I mean, you don't have to, but they referred to him as like, ooh, handsome Joe DiMaggio. It's because we're simple creatures. And when somebody's famous and successful, we just think everything about them is good. So Pena's actually genuinely good looking.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think he could end up being an actual movie star. I'm doing something with him tomorrow night at the Houston Sports Awards.
Oh, you are with Pena?
I'm supposed to ask him one question. I've been given very loose instructions just to joke around with him for a little bit. Like,
okay.
Oh, boy.
Not to get too many things cooking on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page, but would you like to suggest some questions for Seth to ask Jeremy Pena?
Or should I have him read a line from Casablanca?
Yes! Let's see if his acting chops are good.
That was Joe DiMaggio in that role. Yes. It was Humphrey Bogart played by Joe DiMaggio.
Played by Joe DiMaggio. 7480, Joe Namath Medicare commercials are great.
Yeah,
really seems lost and old. I mean, that's a little mean. I mean, he does, but that's why I'm not going to read that.
Yeah, who are the best older athletes that still do stuff?
Joe Montana does a lot of stuff these days.
He has been doing more and more, hasn't he?
More than when he was a player, I think.
Remember that creepy one last year during the Super Bowl where they had somebody like CGI'd like Joe Montana's face into... It was really weird.
Vaguely.
It was something. It was strange.
Yeah.
Somebody says Gronk is the best bad actor.
Yes.
And I would agree. And you know what? The same thing goes on the studio show where, honestly, I get it, teachers. I get why you pass kids because you don't want them to lose athletic eligibility.
Right.
Because that's how I am with Gronk. Like, even if you're a teacher that doesn't like sports, but the kid's a star football player and he's just so damn likable, you're like, oh, all right, I'll give you some extra credit and I'll give you a C. That's how I am with Gronk on the pregame show, in the postgame show on Fox. I'm like, boy, he is horrendous. But I just like him so much. I'll give him a C.
I enjoy him on there. Yeah, no, he's not great, but he's not the meathead that people think he is. He actually, I learn a few things listening to Gronk talk about the tight end position and whatnot.
Yeah, I
think he needs some coaching.
He's trying real hard to give like a little bit of a learned vibe, which isn't going to go great at first. But I think also he's got to fight producers who are trying to dress him up like Bob Ross, the painter with the big hair from TV. Remember who that used to be?
I don't.
You don't remember that?
No.
That was all that was on it. Did you have cable television growing up?
Not till my freshman year in high school.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have cable. Our neighborhood couldn't get it.
I can't believe you, the painter with the big...
The guy on PBS
Bob Ross.
It was
Bob Ross.
The guy that paints stuff?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was his name.
That was Bob Ross.
Okay.
They had him do like some segment where he was dressed up like Bob Ross. And it's hilarious, though, because because he does this Bob Ross thing. He's like painting at the palette.
Yeah.
Kids, he had a just a like a white guy with a big afro, a big huge perm, and he
how'd that go?
What's that?
How'd that go?
It was very fashionable back in the day.
No. I'm talking about Gronk acting like this guy.
It was funny, I guess. Yeah. But like his girlfriend said that after the segment, she said, "Oh my God, you're Bob Ross." And he said, "Yeah, who is that?"
Yeah, dude, 100%.
So, no, so they had him do this whole shtick and he didn't even have a clue who they were doing. That's
hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. So he's a little amenable. Like he's a little too easy to say yes to things, maybe.
He's like a kid getting off the bus in Hollywood. I
know your first question, if you didn't know, would have been, who the hell's Bob Ross?
Yeah.
For sure. All right. We're still getting a lot of texts in on that. All right. Any suggestions for questions for Jeremy Pena? For Seth?
The Mannings also. Plus Cooper is...
Cooper's good too, it turns
out. Cooper's making a strong late surge.
He is. Even Archie is pretty funny in those Caesars commercials.
Yeah.
They come from good acting stock.
Did you see JJ kind of snuck his way into a commercial during the playoffs?
No.
For Athletic Brewing Company?
No.
Because he's a part owner, I think, or an investor in Athletic Brewing Company, okay. Which is non-alcoholic.
Ravel's an investor in that.
Yeah.
That would stand to reason.
And they just showed him they showed a bunch of active people, and then they showed JJ kind of lounging in retirement, like mowing the lawn and then sitting in his pool, like doing all this retirement type
stuff. He's already got a commercial out, embracing retirement. All right. The Texans coaching job. Let's level set here. Where are we at? Where does it stack up in the eyes of executives around the league? We will let you know. Mike Sando let us know that. We'll let you know what the status is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you.
Interesting conversation.
Yeah. During the break. All right. The Texans head coaching job. Let's level set here. Patrick Storm tweeted out a little bit earlier. Patrick Storm writes for Texans Wire.
He's a fan with sources.
He is.
He calls himself that, and I believe I am the one who dubbed him that.
Yeah.
A fan with sources. Because he's not like official media. He's a blogger, but he's got sources.
He's plugged in. Yeah. And he tweeted earlier that Mike Kafka will have his second interview tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, okay, great, they're interviewing Kafka, why are they not running to the D'Amico Ryans, Shane Steichen, Jonathan Gannon pay window to get these guys to interview? Because they can't. They can't. By NFL rules, if a coach interviewing for a promotion is still coaching in this round of the playoffs, they are not allowed to do a face-to-face or second Zoom interview until Monday, till after the games are over. So that's why. Kafka's team got knocked out on Saturday night.
Yeah.
He is now available.
You know, one of the questions, let me write this down. I want to do a little bit more of a deep dive into this. The one question that we get a lot is like, hey, is it kind of a bad sign that the Texans didn't meet D'Amico Ryans in person, whereas the Broncos did? And wait, the Broncos, right? Yeah.
Broncos did.
The Broncos did.
Correct.
Like my knee jerk is not really, not these days, but I think there might be something to be said for that. So I don't know if, but I think that like with these interviews, logistics have a lot to do with it, and it might just have worked out that way. So like, I hate to give this answer, but yeah, it could mean nothing at all, or it could mean everything. So I just don't think in this day and age, and given the circumstances, I don't think many coaches are going to be like offended or think less of a team for doing a Zoom interview. In some ways, the Texans may have thought that that was respecting D'Amico's time the most by doing a Zoom interview. I guarantee you it was not like the McNair's thinking like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to fly
plane
for 2 hours. Yeah. Like that's not what it was. So
Definitely not what it was.
My gut tells me it wasn't an issue, but obviously, who knows? Like, everybody's different.
I just put myself in the shoes of D'Amico. This is just me.
Yeah.
I would rather do these interviews over Zoom when I got a game to prepare for. Having a bunch of people come in from out of town, and yeah, I don't know, man. It doesn't. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you on that. So, Mike Sando of The Athletic talks to people, talks to a lot of executives and anonymous executives when it comes to getting quotes from them. But the five head coaching openings were ranked by anonymous executives. And the ranking that came away for the Houston Texans was, this is the best of the available jobs right now for a handful of reasons. Draft capital. And he's got some great charts in here. It doesn't translate onto the radio because it's visual. But if you subscribe to The Athletic, go find this. But kind of maps out the draft capital. The Texans have big blue squares on theirs. There's a lot of red on some of the other ones like Denver and Arizona and whatnot. The marquee players at each of the positions, the Texans grade out okay there. Like, who's your left tackle, your go-to receiver, your edge rusher, and your cornerback? Texans actually grade out at those four positions cumulatively, mostly on the strength of Laremy Tunsil and the potential of Derek Stingley, than some of these other teams do. And then the cap space. The Texans have a good amount of cap space as well, the most of any of these five teams heading into the offseason. Here's what an anonymous executive says about the Texans' job. Seth, you tell me if they're accurate here.
Give it to me. This guy's either an idiot or a genius.
It can be no other. They are first place in my mind due to the assets they got from the Deshaun Watson trade. The next coach should enjoy stability after back-to-back one-and-done seasons.
Oh.
The AFC South remains a winnable division. They have some nice young pieces from this past draft in Petrie, Pierce, and Stingley.
Well, that's clearly,
end quote.
That's clearly John Lynch, the general manager
yes.
of the 49ers, the
yeah.
most incredibly well-constructed team, but for them just kind of stabbing in the dark and maybe having landed a good quarterback. But yes.
Of those four things, which one's the easiest one to poke holes in? Assets from the Watson trade, stability for the next guy because of the instability recently,
yeah.
Winnable division, nice young pieces.
Okay. The assets in the winnable division are the two that, for one, I think like most head coaches or GMs looking at a job are going to know that the assets are those draft assets are they're little probability clouds.
They are what you make.
You know, yeah, it's the guys that have been in the business know for a long time that nobody's good enough to bat 1,000 at these things. So, but it's much better, especially if you need a quarterback to have that shot, to have that opening. The winnable division, I think, is the one that probably consciously grates at people because that feels a little bit, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong or maybe I'm just too, maybe this is like old school machismo or something, but I don't think most guys who are cut out to be NFL head coaches look at like trying to game the system so that they have the easiest run through the division.
Peyton brought it up in his interview
Sean
with Cowherd.
Sean Peyton did,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's another reason that he should have been. Might be another reason then not to hire him. Like he's looking for the easy road.
100%.
Because the other thing is that just changes so much. It's never the same, you know, year to year to year. And look, last year the AFC West looked like it was going to be just a brutal fight to the death.
Dude, the AFC West was supposed to be the greatest division ever this
year,
and it was okay. I mean,
yeah.
the Chiefs are obviously very good. The Chargers made the playoffs. The NFC East was supposed to be the worst division in football this year. Mm-hmm. And they sent three teams to the playoffs, and the Commanders, the one that didn't make it, it took 16 weeks to eliminate them.
Yeah. I just think that...
It changes.
Yeah, like, I think you got to be realistic if you're a coach, but I do think there's also got to be a certain level of confidence and, like, bravado to you almost, where you're saying, like, well, look, I'm planning on taking this job, and I'm planning on winning a Super Bowl, and I plan on being here for the next 10 years. Right. You know? Now, go die. Like, I don't care. What are you? What are you, you negative Nancy?
To be clear, I hope D'Amico didn't say that.
That's what he did. I told him.
You did?
Yeah.
You know what they'll love, D'Amico, is if at the end you tell them to go
I
die.
I just
go
added die, him on Twitter. Everybody. Yeah. I just I didn't tell it to him personally. I found his social media and I just sent him a message.
What I find interesting with these rankings in Sando's article, it goes Texans first as far as the head coaching openings, Panthers second, Colts third. Colts third with a huge asterisk that Ursay could change this to fifth place in a second. But what I find interesting is the two teams that actually have quarterbacks in place are the worst jobs in the eyes of these executives, Denver and Arizona. Mm-hmm. The two teams that have quarterbacks in place that they are pot committed to for at least two or three more years because of their contracts.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, those are big downsides. And I guess, like, realistically, too, if you're being very realistic as a coach, you realize that, yeah, your ideal is to spend 5, 10, 15 years at a place, but that the reality is sometimes if you don't have immediate success, that it's a short life cycle for these coaches. But I just, like, I'm trying to think of this whole scenario of being scared of going into a certain division. Like, is it hard to hire guys into the SEC right now? Because that's the exact same thing. Yeah, I'm like, it doesn't seem like it's hard to get people to take those jobs.
Yeah.
And yet, you have an extreme version of that where it's really, really hard to necessarily, you know, rise to be the cream of the cream because of the competition at the top of there. So I'm not buying that part of it.
All right. Oh, yeah. So Denver 4, Arizona 5. Dude, Joe Burrow is hitting the market. God, if he goes and wins a Super Bowl, even if he doesn't. If he goes and wins a Super Bowl, he's hitting the market for a contract extension, not only after getting to two Super Bowls in a row and winning one, even if he gets there and doesn't win, in a year after Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson all reset the market. Like, Joe Burrow is going to be able to look at this and go, look at the guys who are getting paid. Russell Wilson sucks. Kyler Murray is mediocre and got injured, and Deshaun Watson, a lot of stuff going on with Deshaun Watson.
No. Well... And that's where everybody is kind of creeping up towards that Deshaun Watson $230 million in guarantees.
Yeah,
Kyler Murray got $190 million guaranteed.
It was like one. They were all around like 160, 170.
170 guaranteed.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, like somewhere
so
there.
They're still $50 million off of the guarantees.
Oh yeah.
My God.
Yep.
There's a part of me, like, there's a subtle respect for Cleveland having done it, like having screwed the Ravens over, a team within their own division that. Even if they can't beat him on the field or beat him in the standings, at least they're going to put him over a barrel when it comes to paying their quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, if you look at the Bengals forever were known as a team that just flat out wouldn't pay money. They've changed and gotten more aggressive than they used to be. They used to be bottom of the barrel in just about everything. Sean, the Bengals were so pathetic. It was even like, okay, I don't know how they manage this, but like the NFL has a really sweet 401k match. They match 2-1. And I can't remember what the limit used to be, but it was like they would match. When the limit was $11,000, they would match $22,000
right.
or whatever it was. So it was a pretty sweet deal. And like almost everybody in the league took advantage of it because the NFLPA reps would get up at and say, rookies, you idiots, whatever you're planning with buying for this $10,000, don't, you're putting it in your 401k.
It's not going to triple in value.
So they had like 97% buy-in, and like the 3% was all people on the Bengals. So like, I have no idea. I have no idea how the Bengals found ways to discourage guys from taking 20,000 extra free dollars every year, but they botched something and they wouldn't. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my God. What a horrible organization. And now
but that's what they used to be.
Yeah.
And like now they're still like this year in cash spending, they were 27th in cash spending.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're free spenders or anything. But I don't think it's going to be an obstacle with Joe Burrow. If it is.
Well, the problem is that escrow rule where you got to take all the guaranteed money and stick it in an escrow account.
Yeah.
You're guaranteeing $200 million. That's a lot of money to have to put
just
in escrow.
Stick in escrow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a holdover from back in the days when they weren't really sure if owners would be able to make payroll.
Yeah,
not.
I think they're so going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think they probably need to change that. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
you know, billionaires don't, they don't like to just park $200 million in,
exactly,
in a money market account.
That's right. That's right. Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. So has a dream scenario evolved now for the Texans? Are we getting our heart set on a dream scenario, and are we setting ourselves up for disappointment? That is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.